How's it going, Clips fans? It's your dude, William. Double bevies Updike.
And is that two beverages?
I got two beverages, yeah.
All right, and I'm positive Chuck Mockler, no beverages.
You got to stay hydrated out here.
Yeah, I do. I'll do better next time.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Mostly recaps. We're going to do a recap of the game versus the Suns. Great win there. Really led the whole way.
Yeah, almost went really bad.
I was going to say, is this a loss because we only won by 10 points?
It is, especially after how big of a lead we had.
It's nearly a loss. And then we're going to get into a recap of Sunday's game versus the Magic. And then we've got a little bit of just some good Clips talk for you. We'll talk a little bit about trades, a little bit about our bench guys, and just where are we going?
Just general stuff.
Yeah, so all that and more coming up right about now.
So the Clippers beat the Suns on Friday. Woo! 121-111. Woo! Big shout out to anyone who watched the live stream we did after that. That was super fun.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome, guys. Thanks for coming through. Thanks for bringing questions. It's always great to hear from you guys.
Try and do those when we can with games and stuff like that if it lines up.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Schedules permitting.
There you go. So we could have absolutely destroyed this team.
Yeah, really should have kept the foot on the gas in this one. It's my opinion.
We were up. We had a 30-point lead in the third quarter that turned into an 11-point lead, which really didn't feel good to watch. But some quick stats for you guys. Gallo and Lou each had 21.
Nice.
Gortat had one of his best games.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe of his whole career. I don't know his career stats. But he had 18 and 13. PBev had 16 points, including 4 of 7 shooting from 3-point, which was very much needed when the Suns were making their run. And then for the Suns, Devin Booker led all scores with 23, while TJ Warden had 20.
So we pretty handedly won this game. I mean,
yeah. I mean, we were up 30. Like, we doubled them up in the first quarter. It was feeling like it was just going to be a blowout.
Yeah, felt great.
It felt really good to watch that. And then with 11 minutes left in the fourth, our 30-point lead was 11 points.
Yeah, there was a lot of shitty turnovers.
Ooh, yeah.
Crappy turnovers.
I think you're fine. So yeah, the Suns went on this pretty, it was just pretty much clear. I don't know how better to describe it than just like all-around domination before this point.
Yeah. Oh, by the Clippers? For
yeah,
sure.
By the Clippers. And then the Suns went on a 24-5 run. Which the craziest part of this was that Booker and Ayton were not out there for this run.
Yeah, not great.
Which kind of blew my mind.
Despite that, I mean, our bench did still finish with 61 as opposed to the Suns 47.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some rough spots there.
And we out-rebounded them 43-25.
Which is insane
to me. Yeah, not a lot of games we're going to get this many rebounds. Lou Williams was pretty clutch in helping stop the Suns' run. He got a couple fouls. We lost the second half 67-53.
I know. I was looking at the box score on that, and that is
which is pretty
insane.
Incredible.
Insane. Well, the third quarter once again was the craziest one. We got outscored by 11 points, and
yeah,
it was not a good.
It was just a bunch of sloppy turnovers.
It really was.
It was
it
like
really
we,
was.
We I think
against
we were
any
coasting.
Other team against any other team we lose this game.
100%. We were for sure coasting. They only scored 19 in the first, which was huge. Tobias only scored, 2 points in the second half.
Yeah. So I just kind of wanted to stop here.
Yeah.
We're about three games out from the half of the season and like...
The halfer.
What are we doing here, Tobias?
With Tobias?
What are we doing here?
He made up for it in the next game against the Magic.
Yeah, he did. He was able to score 18 in the second half, but I'm just worried about him as a closer, I guess.
I'd agree with that.
So his only 2 points from the second half came from free throw attempts, and that was the only time he managed to get to the line. One time.
That's not good.
He played 36 minutes.
In a game that we were up by 30 at one point.
Yeah, he had the lowest plus minus of any starter with -5.
Oof. I don't like that.
Yeah, man. I don't know what to say. I feel like I've been saying this since the beginning of the season, but like if you're a starter and if you want a max contract, we need you if you're not shooting to get to the line.
Yeah, do what
there's
Gallo's
no
doing.
Excuse for it.
Do exactly what Gallo is doing right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, Gallo made what 5 trips to the line.
Yeah,
and
any time during this year when our offense is sputtering, Gallo or Lou are just like. okay, I'll get to the line.
I would even say that that is like part of the identity of this team. Like when things aren't going well, we can rest back on the fact that we have crafty veterans who know how to get to the line.
Aren't we second in free throw attempts in the league too?
Something like that.
Second, we're definitely a top five team. Yeah, that was concerning.
It's disappointing.
And I think it gets masked by how big of a lead we had. You just kind of assume everyone's crushing.
Once again, if this was any other team, we lose this game.
For sure. Lou, Gortat, and Beverly were absolutely huge for us.
Insane. Lou, once again, shot 5 of 15 from the field.
Not good, but
he managed to get to the line for 9 total shots.
Yeah, that's what you need.
That's what you got to do, man.
Shea set his career high in assists with 9, which made it for his 1 of 6 shooting night.
Yeah, the shooting wasn't great. Early on, we were definitely really worried, but man, some of those passes were dimes.
They looked really good. It was nice to see him do that in light of not scoring.
And like that's kind of what I want to see him averaging.
9 assists?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'd like that too.
Oh yeah.
Next year I think he'll probably average 6 or 7.
I think he's capable of it.
I think he is too.
I mean, Lowry I guess leads the league with about 10. He averages 10.
Yeah, so
he can average 9.
I think Shea's going to be around 6 or 7 next year. Which I'm totally happy with.
I would hope so. I think that's pretty similar to what De'Aaron Fox is doing this year.
Yeah.
Don't want to give him too much praise though, you know?
You don't want him to feel too confident.
No. I want him to know that he could always do better. I am the father and he's bringing home a B+.
Yeah. Gortat played great. He got the majority of center minutes, which was pretty rare this season. But he was he was feeling it that night.
Definitely.
Great double-double.
Speaking of centers, Harrell had a chill 15-4-1. I guess my question is, though, this lack of rebounding, 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
Does this limit the ceiling for the Clippers?
I think it would. Because I know he gets a pretty high usage right now.
Yeah.
This is going to sound dumb, but I think it would if he had a higher usage. You know what I mean? Like, he's right in that realm right now of where I don't think it affects it too much. I think it does against elite teams.
I don't know, man. 4 boards in 23 minutes.
No, I'm not saying it's good. But I think against like elite teams, yeah, I guess it does. Like playoff-wise, if you're only putting up 4 boards and you're our center and you're getting 25-plus minutes a game, that's kind of tough.
Yeah.
That's where you need... I think we talked about this in the pregame for this game. And I think against the Magic, too, this is where you need Tobias and Gallo to really crash the boards.
Yeah.
They're, pretty integral in making up for his deficiencies, I think.
100%. And I think that it looks the best when those two are still out there and with Harrell.
Definitely.
Which is a bummer for those guys, because they both have been averaging more and more minutes. They both played 36 in this game.
Yeah,
but I mean, for Harrell, 23 minutes, you know, nearly 40 possessions?
Yeah, it's half the game.
And he's only grabbing a board on 10% of them. I just think he can do better than that.
I agree. You're the disapproving dad. Someone who we're pretty bummed out of. Mike Scott went 1 of 4 from the free throw line. That was his only point.
Man, that was.
And he had a poor game against the Magic too.
Not great. He did have 3 boards. And I mean, I guess he did only he only ended up playing 8 minutes. He's really in the midst of a struggle right now.
Yeah.
Corey Maggette even commented on a little bit. I guess they were talking and, he acknowledges that he's in somewhat of a shooting slump, but you know, the good news is that he said he's going to keep shooting. And I think that that's just what you have to do.
It's the only way you can fix it.
It's just what you have to do to get through that. And yeah, I mean, obviously I would love to see Mike Scott doing better numbers. I think that he's still has a lot left in the tank, man. He's only had 7 NBA seasons.
Yeah.
So it's just a bummer to see him averaging 4.5 a game right now. Yeah. For this season.
And it's pretty clear that Doc's kind of down on him too, because his minutes have dwindled
for sure. By quite a bit.
You want to do this next one?
Oh yeah, man. The big meatball himself was the star of the game.
Big meat Gallinari.
21-7-6.
Love it.
Could have gone for 100.
100 points?
Yeah, if the bench didn't F it up.
I don't think that's true.
Gallo, capable of 70 any night.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from this game was that the Free Motley movement.
Oh yeah, finally came to fruition.
He got 29 seconds of playing time. He committed a great looking foul.
He easily could have had 3 times this amount of playing time.
For sure.
It was like the game was in the can.
Yeah, the game was out of reach. But it was good to see him out there. He committed a very professional foul, showed that he was ready for the big time.
I love how like bullheaded you are on this foul.
Very professional foul. I don't know. All in all, bit of a, I mean, fun to boring game to watch for most of it because we were crushing. Yeah. Then it got really uneasy.
Yeah.
Those turnovers, this is a thing.
I wouldn't say boring. I love watching the team thrive.
Yeah.
I like watching them dump on teams.
I do to a certain point. The issue that came up in the Magic game also came up in this game, which is just playing sloppy.
Yeah.
For large amounts of time together as opposed to spreading it out over the game.
And like, it's fine, I guess, if we're still getting the dub, but
just clean it up.
Here's my thing. It's like the same thing with teams like in the tank or in the rebuild.
Yeah.
I think if you get accustomed to playing shitty basketball, man, sorry, crappy
basketball.
Dude,
you're cursing all over the place.
What is wrong with me? Too many beverages. I just think that like it's hard to like flip the switch or whatever stupid cliche you want to use. I think it's hard to get your head back to playing like every single possession
elite
counts.
Basketball.
Yeah, if you're like kind of taking breaks.
Couldn't agree more. Coming up after this, maybe ad, I don't know, a bit of a slow month apparently in January. We're gonna be recapping the Magic versus Clippers game.
All right, so Magic v Clips. 106-96. Once again, feels like a loss. Only
Clippers
10 points.
Won. Yeah, only 10 points. This game started horribly.
Oh, it couldn't have started much worse. We scored 18 points in the first.
Yeah, that was good. What was our shooting in the first? We went 7 of 26 from the field in the first quarter.
That's insane.
And then, plus side, ended the half on a 21-12 run.
Yes, 100%.
So it was a very... some quick stats. Tobias, scoreless in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Came through with 28 points.
He did. And 18.
This is what we want to see.
Yeah. 18 of these were in the second half when we definitely needed it.
Yeah. It was only a 10 point win. We'd complained in the Suns game he wasn't doing a whole lot down the stretch. So it was cool to see it kind of happen in this game against a team that is better than the Suns.
I guess, man.
Ish. I don't know.
It's hard to gauge because they play in the Eastern Conference.
Yes. Tobias covered for Gallo, who had 2 points in the second half. Going 1 of 6 from the field. Not good.
Yeah.
Lou Williams added 17. Gortat had 8, 10, and 6.
Nice.
Almost got that trip dub on Polish night.
Nice.
And Shea and Gallo each had 13 for the Magic. Aaron, second strongest man in the league, led the way with 17. Vucevic did his best with 16 points and 24 rebounds.
This was insane. I think I texted you in the first quarter, and I was pretty sure he was at like 7 and 10.
He had a double-double the first quarter.
Yeah.
I was ready. I was moving this weekend, so I couldn't watch the game. I was ready for him to put up like 40 and 40.
I thought he was gonna have like an Embiid night. He was just gonna dump on us.
I was listening on the radio, and they're like, Vucevic from three, it's good. And I was like, oh God, like this is we talked about that. We're like, the only person we have to contain is Vooch.
Yeah,
which we didn't.
a little bit. I mean,
not on the boards.
No. But who's stopping Vooch on the boards?
Here's the craziest part of the game that I thought.
Can't stop that man from getting boards.
We only got out rebounded 54-53. We only got out rebounded by one board.
Yeah, it was really close.
Which is so lucky. Again, against a better team, we lose this game.
Yeah. Oh, and I also just wanted to comment. I left this out of the last preview. These last two games are the first in like, I don't even remember the last time where we haven't gotten dominated on fast break points.
Oh, hell yeah.
We beat the Suns 20-19 in fast break points. And in this outing, once again, we beat the Magic 15-18.
That's
so it's
up.
Like, it's close.
It's getting better.
But it's getting better.
Do you think that's indicative of maybe a better defensive understanding by the guys?
Mildly.
Mildly, fair.
Because generally when we lose in the fast break points, it's something, I mean...
We usually get like killed.
Yeah, we usually get killed. So I actually think I would attribute it more to better communication on offense.
Yeah.
Especially with the second unit, because they really... In this outing, they actually tied with the Magic's bench.
Oof.
But they have the tools to really kind of run another bench off the floor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Mo Bamba came in and had 8 and 10 off the bench for them, which is weird. Usually not what you're going to get from him, given how the season's going. The Magic tied it up with 10 minutes left, and then we went on a 17-2 run to ice the game.
Hey.
That was huge. Interesting note from Jovan Buha. Clippers play a conservative style defense to limit their rotations. You're seeing why today. When they're forced to rotate and make quick defensive reads, they get killed on the weak side.
Yeah, agreed.
That's a new Kalamian thing.
Yeah, agreed.
Because last year we switched a ton.
Yeah, I would say that that's been a glaring issue. We have a lot of defenders, and we've talked about this a little bit before. They're good one-on-one guys. They don't really communicate well or switch well.
Yeah. Seems like we're ushering in a very kind of new school defense for a lot of guys who've played it the older way. Not saying one is better. It's just how defense is changing.
No, I mean, I think having versatility and switching is always going to be better.
For sure. Only had 7 turnovers.
Yeah.
Isn't our season low 6?
Something like that.
So pretty, I mean.
Yeah, it might be 5, but pretty, right around there.
Yeah. I didn't realize this notice about the paint.
Oh, yeah.
Especially considering Vooch.
Oh, yeah. We outscored the Magic 52-38 in the paint.
Damn.
I'd love to see more of this. Like, especially when our guys are having shooting trouble. Like, we have the tools. Like, you got to be playing downhill. You got to, I don't know. We just got to play physically. We're that kind of team.
Give it to Trez and he'll just have a power dunk.
Yeah.
Like, he has the best power dunks in the league. Shea went 6-for-7 with a made three-pointer.
Nice.
Put together a nice couple of games.
Hell yeah.
Watched some extended highlights of this game. It seemed like him, Tobias, and Gallo were all moving the ball well together.
Yeah, so we did get out-assisted in this game, 24-20, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I wish our assist numbers would be higher.
I really do, too. I feel like 20 seems low.
20 is very low when you score, 110 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, 106 points, excuse me. 20 assists on that many made baskets is a little troubling.
Yeah, definitely.
This was Polish night. Gortat showed out. He's been playing great lately.
He really has. I've been pleasantly surprised.
Super psyched. Also, it was reported he spent $10,000 on tickets to the Golden Globes to go do after that game.
Which, can we agree, is the wackest of all the award ceremonies? No, Grammys is wackest. Drink. Yeah.
I think the Golden Globes too, because they can booze up.
I just think it's somewhat meaningless because, like, there's only 100...
Because the Academy Awards exist?
Well, and with the... Here's the thing, if you don't know about the Golden Globes. The movies that win the most categories, like, court all these people.
Yeah.
There's only 100, so it's a lot easier. Like, they'll send them all Rolexes and crap.
Yeah.
That's why Green Book, like, swept in the Academy Awards and is, like, the most critically panned movie. Anyways, we got to talk a little about movies. We're in the we're talking Clippers. This is Hollywood, babe.
This game, piggybacking off the game against the Suns, we got to see Motley's first points.
Yeah, man.
The Free Motley movement is now the More Motley movement.
More Motley.
If you're listening, he played a little less than 2 minutes, put up 4 points with an offensive board. Who cares he was -5? That's going to happen. You know, he's a young guy. Had a great Eurostep layup. Looked good. He has an unorthodox playing style, and I love it.
Yeah, so I guess my only issue is...
He
can't guard a five. That's my only issue is, like, he and Harrell are a little bit of an overlap, which I do see as definitely a limiting factor in his play time thus far.
You're saying is call up Angel Delgado, run both these guys at the same time.
What I'm saying is... Yeah, I guess I don't really know.
We still... even though we've added Motley, who apparently is going to be up... for the remainder of the season. That's what Doc said, even though he got sent down today back to Agua Caliente. It seems like even though we add more pieces, we still have more question marks.
Well, I feel like we have more question marks because we're just adding more power forwards.
Random. Yeah, that's a good
like we
point.
Have so many power forwards. It's like our guard situation early on where, it's great that you have a bunch of this one position, but it kind of creates inefficiencies.
Yeah, we have definitely the center position. We can't be too bummed about these two games since we won, but the playing down syndrome we have is kind of getting old and was on display for these two games.
Yeah.
But hey, we got the dubs.
Hey, I'm sick of it.
You're sick of the dubs?
No, I'm sick of the playing down.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, that's fair. Coming up after this potential advertisement, we're doing the freshies and some Clips talk. So I just talked about how Motley has arrived. I think we're all pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't be.
I mean, if you're a lunatic. he got sent back to the Agua Caliente Clippers this morning, so I don't know what's happening with that. Doc had a quote like 3 days ago about how they brought him up to play the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
And now he's just like back with Agua Caliente.
Yeah.
Probably good. I don't know.
I don't know.
Get him some minutes.
What do you think about this? Motley at 3.
Love it.
Harrell at the 4.
Who's at the 5?
Gallo.
Oh, man. I like that. I mean.
With Toby at the 2 and Shea at the 1.
That's a big lineup.
It's a crazy lineup.
It's a super crazy lineup. Let's do it. Who cares?
Get at us, Clippers Twitter. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we're going to run that lineup for you one more time. That's Shea at the 1, Tobias at the 2, Motley at the 3, Trez at the four, Gallo at the five.
Who's stopping it?
Who's stopping that lineup other than maybe every other team? So you were kind of floating some bit of some what could have been situation.
Oh, yeah.
With our guy Jerome.
Yeah, so when's he coming back?
So he's been playing for the Agua Caliente Clippers.
Yeah, but I mean for the real Clippers.
For the real Clippers? Oh, I don't think that... sorry, I just caught a sight of the Goodyear blimp. It's huge outside this window. I don't know if he... He might play less than 10 games for the first team.
Really?
Going forward, I think.
You think so?
They've been so conservative with him that I'm almost like fine with it.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought that he showed really some promise off the bench. He was able to get rhythms really pretty quickly.
Yeah. He knows his role, which is shoot the ball.
He's got a good size to like have the tools to be a defender, which our second unit needs in the backcourt position.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a lot of, like, I mean,
Patrick, Ty Wall's great, but like...
Yeah, Ty Wall's great, but I mean, he generally plays the three.
Yeah.
And Pat Beverly, very good, but once again, like, can't switch and is...
He's old-ish. So who's this guy you're thinking about we maybe should have drafted? Who I didn't know existed until today.
Yeah, so I was bringing this up with Charles because he's actually having a pretty solid rookie season. But Kevin Huerter, who is currently the starting shooting guard for the Atlanta Hawks next to Trae Young.
What's this guy's size also? Just break this down real quick.
I believe... Oh, man, I'm going to have to...
What is he, like 6'7", 230?
He's 6... no, he's nowhere near that big of a monster, but he is 6'7", 190 pounds.
6'7", 190.
Which is really solid for a shooting guard. You know, decent defensive instincts, University of Maryland alum.
How many years?
I don't know, he's age 20, so I would guess maybe maybe two? I don't know, but most likely a one and done. I don't know, we don't care about college. That's not important. That's not important right now. But anyways, he was drafted with the 19th pick from the Hawks, so you know we could have easily had him in our clutches. But like I said, he's having a super solid season. He's averaging 8-3-2 in starting minutes, and he's shooting 40% from the field and 38% from three. And this is just the kind of guy that, like...
He'd fit great.
I realize we have so many guards, but like this just seems like the kind of guy who would give us some real value.
Yeah, we could have had, I mean, you could have had Shea and the Herd, as we're calling him on this podcast now, maybe on the second unit.
It says that together. His nicknames here on per Basketball Reference are Red Mamba and...
That's not his nickname.
Red Velvet.
Okay, maybe I don't want this guy. The Red Mamba is Scalabrini also.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Or maybe he was White Mamba.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Yeah, Jerome, I hope it is. It feels kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
Not and, at him. No oh, frustration I was gonna at say, him yeah, at all.
No, definitely not his fault at all. I just think that we could definitely use him, especially given, I mean, there's a shooting guard in the starting lineup that is...
not good at shooting.
Not been particularly effective.
Yeah, it's feeling more and more of a... Maybe at least this season, we're a little too clever with that pick.
You think so?
I think maybe a little bit. The injury sucks. That's obviously something we didn't see was going to happen, but it just feels like a thing where it's like, you're seeing how a lot of these other guys played below him. If anyone even mentions Michael Porter Jr. on Twitter, I will find where you are and yell in your face.
Yeah.
I've seen people talk about how we should have drafted him, and I'm like, no.
You're wrong.
It just feels like we maybe... We're a little too smart on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they had a good feeling, and I'm not saying that he wasn't a good pick. It just seems like if we're not going to play him in starting minutes, like, what's the point?
What was the damn point of drafting him?
Yeah.
Could have drafted a Bridges.
Could have. frustrating stuff.
Bit of another weird frustrating thing. Doc Rivers says he expects Tom Thibodeau will be around the team in some capacity.
No thanks.
Said Tibbs breaks down every NBA game, so he might as well get his thoughts. Here's the thing that I don't like. I think it's weird when guys, I understand, like, you know, thinking about games, reading the games and stuff like that. If you're no longer coaching in the NBA, why are you still breaking down every single NBA game?
Yeah, who else did he have snaking around the team?
Ty Lue. Why do you say snaking? No, the tip
snakes
thing,
in the grass.
The tip thing is just kind of like, I mean, I guess if he's not making any official decisions in any way, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe take some nuggets of wisdom that he might still have about defense. None. Defense has passed him by.
Defense has passed him by. He has no clue what the modern NBA offense entails.
No clue. Just something interesting. Another thing. When is Luke coming back?
Yeah, I got another one for you. When the heck is Luke coming back?
We've heard a week for the past month.
Yeah.
You know, like that was the official word on Sunday.
And the wing is definitely, I mean, other than the center possession, like position where we're the most like threadbare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially with Mike Scott, like,
should we try and trade him? That was the thing I had in here.
I just don't know what the value is.
I don't like this note you put in there.
Is Mike Scott done?
No, what's happening? The one after it.
He's on track. Mike Scott currently is on track to match his worst scoring season, which was his rookie year, with 4.6 a game. The only time he's averaged less points was when he was clearly with an injury and he only played 18 games.
Yeah, we need something different.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah. I don't know.
I want Luke to be back,
but like...
Milos is hurt now too.
He also has his own struggles.
Yeah.
You know, can't finish really around the rim anymore since the shoulder injury.
Could be some moves.
Having troubles shooting from three in the limited amount of minutes that we saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think some moves are maybe going to happen after January 15th.
Some moves maybe need to happen. And once again, I just feel like this is a thing where, you know, Mike Scott does still sometimes provide some solid defense. He gets the boards. 4 rebounds in 8 minutes is, you know, nothing to blow your nose at.
Yeah.
But
he's there to shoot threes.
That's the thing. It's like we need the offense as well. It's not enough just to supply some solid defense. Like, unless you're stopping every single possession, which you're not.
It's very hard to do that. No team, I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, in the history of the NBA has ever held a team scoreless. I could be wrong.
I don't know, man. It seems
like we got some more questions up in the air as this All-Star break approaches us.
Yeah. And the trade deadline is February 8th, which
is not too far away from now.
It's not too far away at all. I don't know if we're going to do anything. The thing is, you know, as we say again and again, like, most of this season is a pitch to free agents.
Yeah.
And I don't see, just given, like, I mean, other than vets on like some like team friendly contracts, we don't really have a lot of assets that
don't have a pick to really trade.
Yeah,
that because we're not going to be in the lottery.
Yeah, and we don't even have our pick this year.
It's protected 1 through 15.
I know, but we're not.
Oh yeah, no, that's what, yeah.
Like, we're not going to have a pick this year.
Yeah,
most likely.
I hope not at this rate. We do have to go really bad to be in the top 15 right now.
Yeah. So I don't know. Oh, and just a slight correction, the trade deadline is actually the 7th. But yeah, I just, due to the lack of assets and, you know, just the nature of, I mean, really the top of the conference right now.
Yeah.
I don't see us making any headway or any moves.
Maybe we trade
for... Do you disagree?
No, I'm just sighing at the whole situation.
Let me hear. What do you got?
Maybe we trade for Herder, you know? Maybe something... Speaking of... No, I don't know what we got. We have... bunch of weird guys we could package with one of our stars to trade, but I don't want to do that.
I was kind of surprised we didn't make any noise in the Ariza deal.
I mean, apparently they got a plan.
I mean, I trust the logo.
I trust the logo too. Guys, that has been our Monday episode of Locked On Clippers. We're on the Locked On Podcast Network, coming at you 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Give us a listen if you're trying to get some of your
all
Clippers
the fresh
info.
Content. If you're a new listener, if you've been listening, please remember to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes.
It
really helps out the pod, you guys.
We might live stream tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll probably live stream.
See what's going on. We're going to have a game prep for you for the matchup against the Hornets. Playing against your
big
boy.
Big Kemba.
Playing against your boy Kemba. Twitter Tuesdays, and then just a nice, you know, general NBA wrap-up.
Yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for tuning in, guys.